Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and its host and founder is Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. Carol has some very interesting interviews scheduled for the program, including one with Jake Smith, the editor of several national award-winning bi-monthly magazines. He's written an inspirational novel that I think you'll find very touching as they describe it. It's named Wish. It's published by Tyndale House Publishers. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine will be here to talk a bit about the media and what's going on behind the scenes. And Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent, we'll be talking with Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart, of course, is the founder of Martha Stewart Living. And with her will be Tim Davis, who's the president of UPS Stores. And they're going to talk about the importance of small business. That should be quite interesting indeed. As a matter of fact, Steve Wiseman is going to also talk about the benefits or dangers, what you have to know if you're investing in marijuana stocks. That's coming up on this program. So we have a heck of a show for you. Let's jump right in now and kick it off with Carol Marks in conversation with Lynn Cheney. She's the wife of former Vice President Dick Cheney. She holds a PhD from the University of Wisconsin. She's the author or co-author of 12 books, including 6 bestsellers about American history for children and their families. And she's going to talk to Carol about her latest book titled James Madison, A Life Reconsidered, published by Viking.
And I couldn't agree more with the New York Times when it recently praised her book by saying it is probably the best single volume biography of President Madison that we now have. So, Lynn Cheney, the warmest of welcomes to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
And I want to start off by asking you why you wanted to write a book about our fourth president, James Madison, and why do you think he's been underrated by historians, because, as you say in the book, he had a fine reputation that somehow got lost over a couple of decades.
Well, he was unlucky in his biographer, Henry Adams, who wrote 2 volumes about the Madison presidency. And it was really quite sour. It, sort of depicted Madison as his worst enemies thought of him. And I think that really was one inhibition that we have in the way of our properly appreciating him today. But his was a fascinating story. He was, I think, indispensable to the creation of the early republic and the establishment of government under the Constitution. I can't think of a more important political theorist in the early years, but he was also a very tough-minded politician that knew how to get done what he needed to get done. So it was my belief that we needed to know more about this person, and I certainly enjoyed every bit of research I did as I was writing this book.
And the wonderful research that you did certainly is in the book, and I learned a lot. And one of the things I wanted to talk about that you pointed out that I really wasn't aware of, you know, is the close relationships that he had with some of the founding fathers, starting with George Washington. And I never knew that, for instance, he wrote a draft of his inaugural speech.
That's right. I think that isn't widely known. He wrote a speech for Washington after Washington had a very bad one written for him. He called on Madison to write him a good one, which Madison did. And then Madison, who was the leader of the Congress, wrote the response of the House of Representatives to the inaugural address. And then Washington said to him, "Will you please write my response back to the Congress?" So, you know, Madison was, in one way or another, he was everyone's voice in the early days of the Republic. The relationship with Washington, however, did not last through Washington's 2 administrations. There was really an estrangement when Alexander Hamilton, who was the Treasury Secretary, began to take the country in a direction that that Madison thought was entirely misguided. Hamilton believed in big government, in a government that could do anything that the Congress thought was for the general welfare. Madison had been at the Constitutional Convention, more responsible for the Constitution than anyone else, and he knew that what had been created was a government that was limited, that had a number of specifically enumerated powers. So when he began to act against Hamilton, and in fact establish a political party to do so, he and Washington became estranged.
Another very important friendship that he had with another founding father that did last, and I was really, you know, I hadn't realized how deep the friendship went, because you said it was the most important political friendship in American history. And what made you say that?
Well, the two men complemented each other, Jefferson and Washington. There's a wonderful Jefferson historian who passed away recently. His name is Merrill Peterson, and he said, when it comes to these two men, the account balanced. In other words, Jefferson was a man of high and dramatic thinking. He would come up with these great theories that were inspirational but had absolutely no possibility of working in real life. And Madison was sort of the person who kept Jefferson tethered to the earth, so to speak. He would praise Jefferson's ideas and then, you know, tactfully point out why it wouldn't work and try to find the best in it. So in that way, the two men complemented each other. They both were Virginians. They knew how beautiful the Piedmont of Virginia is, where they'd both grown up. They were friends through life. Madison was probably responsible for Jefferson's becoming president in 1800. I think you could say that he was responsible. Jefferson appointed a really old vice president in his second term so that the way would be prepared for Madison to become president from being Secretary of State. And then they grew old together. They grew poor together. The Virginia economy just plummeted after the War of 1812 and the end of Madison's administration. And both of them fell deeply into debt. Jefferson died first, and before he died, he wrote Madison a letter, and he said, take care of me when dead. In other words, please protect my reputation, which Madison did indeed.
Very moving. And, you know, both men really shared a passion for full religious freedom, and I think that was so important. And, you know, we've just had the Supreme Court saying that prayers can be allowed in local meetings. So I think they would be happy about that.
Yes. Both of them saw that, you know, church and state needed to be kept separate. But that didn't mean, for example, you couldn't have a religious service in the Capitol. That's where the early church services were held and where Madison attended them. It's an important kind of balance between not letting religious thinking dominate the government, but not removing religion from our public life. And I think both of them found the right balance. I'm not sure we always do today, though I was pleased with that decision.
And one of Madison's greatest accomplishments was helping establish Congress, and he was a master legislative tactician. And as you had said a little earlier, he and Jefferson helped found another political party, and that has kind of led to, and it led back then, didn't it, to some of the same partisan politics and not too friendly atmosphere that we have today. Not new.
Well, you know, are just distressed by the atmosphere that prevails today, and I frankly am too some of the time. But Madison understood that partisanship, it took him a while to reach this understanding, but he came to understand that partisanship is part of being a republic, that you have to recognize that there can be opposition that's legitimate. In the early days, you know, after the Revolution and the difficulty of setting up a government, many people believed that anybody who opposed the government was a traitor. And Madison's genius was to see that we need opposition, and indeed he started an opposition party. If you don't have opposition, in our own time, for example, you'd be Russia, you know, where there's no legitimate opposition. But as soon as you recognize legitimate opposition, you do get into, I don't know, the politics of personal destruction, which we saw in Madison's time as well as our own, and rumors. Dolly Madison was the subject of a whispering campaign at one point that said she was and implied she was a loose woman. So, you know, it wasn't all that different, and it's not always pleasant, but it kind of goes with being a republic.
Right. And Lynn Cheney, what do you hope readers will take away from James Madison after they have finished their biography about his life and impact? Because I agree with you that he was both gifted intellectually and a political genius. So what else would you like them to take away from the book?
Well, now that's a pretty good takeaway right there.
Right, it is.
I also hope that they just understand how intriguing and interesting a time this was. These men were doing something that had never been done before. And that they succeeded, of course, makes all of our lives better.
And we are so blessed that we had such wonderful founding fathers. And I thank you, as always, for being on the show, Lynn Cheney, and keep up the good work and helping us learn about our history, because it's so important that we learn about it and learn what a wonderful country we have. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate being on your show, and that's a great sentiment that I totally agree with. Thank you.
Lynn Cheney, in conversation with Carol Marks, and her book is titled James Madison, A Life Reconsidered, published by Viking. More Carol Marks conversations coming up when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
It's Practical Polly Radio. I've switched to cooking with healthier oils. So now what do I do with all these tubs of lard? Skinny jeans feeling too tight? A bit of lard on your hips and thighs and those pants slide on like a dream. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is a national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the show, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Jake Smith. He's the editor of several national award-winning bi-monthly magazines, and he's going to talk to Carol about his new novel, Wish, published by Tyndale House Publishers.
So, can you tell us a little bit about your interest in baseball, and what position did you play, and weren't there lots of scouts interested in signing you when you were in college?
Oh boy, my passion for baseball has been it's always been a part of our family. Some of my earliest memories are 5 years old on the T-ball field, and it just continued. I have an older brother, and so there a lot of time spent in the yard playing catch. Whenever we asked my dad to come out and teach us or coach, he dropped whatever he was doing and just threw us ground ball and pitch after pitch after pitch. And that really left an impression on me, of course, that time that he never, like, carved out time for us. Whenever we needed anything, whenever we wanted to spend time with him, he was there to help us, to instruct, to coach, to have fun. And my brother and I, we've carried that over to our kids as well. So it's baseball has always been about family for me. And I played through my whole junior high school and high school career. And I was a shortstop. And part of that family connection, one of my greatest memories as a player was able to win a state championship. I'm in Michigan. My brother and I were able to play together. He was a senior and I was a freshman, and I played shortstop and he played second base, and that was the season for the ages for us, and something we had dreamed about going all the way back to those front lawns when we were little kids turning double plays in on a carved out piece of grass for the base. And so that's always been that was the tie-in that I wanted with the book. I never had any pro scouts interested in me. Right before my senior year of high school, I received an academic scholarship to a university that didn't have a baseball team, but they had the program that I wanted to study in wildlife sciences. And so I hung them up after my senior year, but I continued on. Later on, I helped coach my old high school, and now I'm helping coach my kids' teams.
So what's nice, really, is that you're able to remain an active participant in a game you love. Now, you know, Jake, I believe nothing happens by chance. And in doing research for the book, you ran into Brandon Inge, former Major League Baseball player, at a children's cancer treatment facility. What did he say he was doing there? And what did he tell you a boy asked him to do for him? What wish did he have? And that wish really had an impact on you. So what was that about?
He sort of provided a lot of the basis for the book. And it was, you know, I had this idea of wanting to write a baseball book. And that's kind of how it started. I thought it would be neat to make up a story about how an average guy got this unbelievable opportunity. And it was about that time, while watching the Tigers on TV, I saw this wonderful story about Brandon Inge. And he and his wife had done a lot of, they do a lot of good at a Michigan children's hospital near Detroit. And one of the stories was that he had gotten to know a family there and went to visit the boy, and the boy asked him to hit a home run for him. And that night, Brandon did. And so the broadcasters were talking about it, and it just sort of all kind of clicked into my mind that, wow, maybe this is the reason why that father gets this opportunity. So through a sort of a 3 or 4 degrees of separation, I was able to speak with Brandon over the phone and for about 20 minutes, and it was such a neat conversation. And I could have talked with him about baseball for probably, you know, the next few hours, but we talked for about 20 minutes all about his work at the hospital and how he just sees these kids' face light up when he would walk into the room. And he always tried to keep things a little bit under the radar, and so I really based my ball player character in the book on some of Brandon's experiences and sort of around him. Now Doug Glanville, I got to know after the fact, and he helped with some of the Major League Baseball research, sort of the behind the scenes, since I don't have that experience myself. And he's got a wonderful memoir called The Game From Where I Stand, and he's an ESPN analyst now. And so I just wrote him an email and I said, hey, this is what I'm doing, and he really believed in the mission too of helping kids and helping hospitals specifically. So he read the manuscript and gave me some tips, and he's been doing some legwork on his end to help spread the message as well.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the plot of your book, because it's a great plot, and as you said, it's about a 9-year-old boy, a boy named Aaron, and he has leukemia and it relapses, and he needs a bone marrow transplant, and he has a really wonderful visit for one of his baseball heroes, and the baseball player asks him what his greatest wish would be, and he says it would be to see his father play in one major league game. And, you know, I was just so impressed, Jake, that you came up with the idea of having Aaron's wish be such an unselfish one.
Well, thank you. And I kind of kept it a little secret in the book, too, because Aaron's pretty nervous when he makes that wish. And, in fact, he just sort of whispers it. And the whole story is, it's not a first person perspective, but it is all from the father. His name is James. It's all his from his perspective, and so he doesn't hear this wish. And you know, this isn't a given. In the book, James is this college standout and had major league aspirations, and he had pro scouts interested in him. And then he walked away from the game. He met his future wife, and baseball just wasn't as interesting anymore. And so he wanted to start a family, and he stayed involved in coaching and all of that. But Aaron, since this is his relapsed, this is a second bout of leukemia, James and Aaron have never been able to share that experience on the field. James has never coached him in T-ball. He's never seen all of the, you know, the first hits and the first catches. They've never been able to share that. Aaron's never been strong enough. So they've bonded over baseball through James's stories and his coaching, and through Aaron's just fascination with statistics. And so they bond over baseball with that. So when it comes time for Aaron's wish, yeah, he could have wished for a bat. He could have wished for time to spend with a favorite athlete or in the dugout. But he realizes that, you know, James's greatest desire really is just to play catch with his son. And that not having happened and maybe not ever happening, he decides then to, you know, he does make this selfless wish that he wants to see his dad have this opportunity. And so it provides potentially the chance for both of them to have a goal. And what's difficult for James is that this is a very painful decision. I mean, yes, this would be the fulfillment of a childhood dream, play one night in the majors. I mean, how cool is that? But in order to do that, this isn't just going to be handed to him on a silver platter. He has to earn it a little bit and show that he can still hit a fastball, you know, that he can still play the game. And so what this means is that he's got to, if he's going to try to do this, he has to go back through the minor leagues for a few weeks. What that ultimately means, though, is that he has to be away from Aaron during his treatment while he's in the hospital and in what could be the last few weeks of his life. So it's a very painful decision for James. And really, his wife, Emily, is the one who sort of sits him down and is his motivation to go and do this.
And she really enables him to go because she says she'll take care of everything. And you know, what I gathered from reading your book and learning a little bit about you is that this plot with the family being so strong and supportive really reflects your belief that God makes his love known in the purest form through those around us that care about us, our family.
You got it. You got it. And I just got to say, my wife would laugh, but Emily, I wrote completely about my wife. I mean, she has been on a much, obviously a much smaller, a much more less significant scale. James's struggles with either do I just sit and wait and hope that something comes true, or do I use the gifts that I've been given to try to help Aaron's wish come true? And that, in much smaller ways, like I said, that mirrors my own struggles with my writing. You know, do I just write and hope an agent calls me, or do I take the critiques, take the criticism, get better, and put myself out there and try to make my dream come true? And I really believe that's how God answers our prayers, how he performs his miracles is through those around us. But that also means we realize that sometimes he's calling us to be an answer prayer for somebody else. And so we have to be open to that as well.
Jake Smith, in conversation with Carol Marx. His novel is titled Wish, and it's published by Tyndale House Publishers. For more information, go to bethematch.org. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine and RadioInfo.com is next on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. gray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're at that point in the program where we're joined by Kevin Casey, our senior correspondent, who's also vice president and executive editor of two trade publications that serve the radio industry, Talkers Magazine at talkers.com and Radio Info at radioinfo.com. And Kevin, I'm going to take a departure from our normal discussion about radio, and let's talk about something more under the banner of upper demographic issues.
Sure.
You appeared this past weekend, actually for the past 2 weeks, in a community theater presentation of the play, the musical Oliver. Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And you played the evil Bill Sykes. Now, you are, of course, of the demographic of this program, or you couldn't be a senior correspondent here.
Right.
And yet I do know that you basically have only begun doing this recently. Is community theater something that is a warm and fuzzy place and a good place for older folks, seniors, senior citizens, people over 50, to get out and express themselves and socialize and have a good time and do what they maybe they'd never had a chance to do before?
Absolutely. And I think if you are someone who has always thought you'd like to be in a production, it's a great opportunity to get out there to audition. You go through that process, which is interesting. Most shows that are produced require characters of all ages. So there's really no ageism in theater unless you're doing a very young production like, you know, Grease or you know, Footloose or something like that. But even then, you have principals and teachers who are adults. But it really is a lot of fun to meet people of all ages in the community. One thing I really noticed, Michael, was how interesting it was when you're backstage and you have people who are from children, teenagers, to grandparents all hanging out backstage, the communication across the demographic lines completely opens up when you're all focusing on one goal. And it really is a great experience from that perspective alone.
I did theater when I was young. I have not had the pleasure, because of my schedule, to be involved in any kind of theater at this point in my life. And I remember that being in theater, whether it was community theater, I did community theater, I did high school theater, I did college theater. I even did a little bit of off-Broadway, and then I grew up and got a job. I went into something that was a different brand of show business. I went into radio.
Right.
I found that in the theater, just being in a theater group is a communal experience that's unlike any other. There's a camaraderie that's great. I mean, there's the normal gossip and the normal, you know, politics, but that's in any human endeavor. But by and large, it's really a great way to meet people and to feel like you're part of something.
It really is. It's also a glimpse into what other generations are doing and thinking. And I found the last two productions I've been in, I have met... it's really easy for older folks to criticize the younger generations. It's something that's been going on since humanity began, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it was really cool to meet a bunch of really intelligent, nice, wonderful, talented young people, and it really kind of gives you a hope for the next generation. Now, you're only doing theater. You're not, you know, curing cancer, but I found myself really relating to these people personally and learning about who they are and seeing what they do in their lives and so on. You get a chance to chat socially, and it allows you, an interesting experience going, again, as I said, across the demographic lines or the generational lines.
Well, I want to congratulate you on an excellent performance, and I do hope that you continue to do this. I envy you. I hope that somewhere along the line I get a chance to play in that sandbox, because it's extremely creative and... a nice place to hang with people and get to know them and do something productive and do something good for the community. Thank you very much. Kevin Casey, the Vice President and Executive Editor of the two trade publications. In the talk field, it's Talkers. In the music field, it's Radio Info, radioinfo.com and talkers.com. Check them out. Thank you, Kevin. And we are going to be meeting up with Steve Wiseman and hearing from Martha Stewart next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way this hour by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. In this segment, he'll be talking with Martha Stewart and Tim Davis. Of course, Martha Stewart, the very famous founder of Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia, and big television star, entrepreneur, best-selling author, a lifestyle expert. And Tim Davis is the president of the UPS store. The subject at hand, entrepreneurism and small business.
Martha, you founded the American Made Awards. Why did you do that?
Well, we've always been very avid supporters of small American business and entrepreneurial makers movement that are occurring here in the United States. We love artisans, craftspeople, inventors, people who do things, make things, enjoy showing how things are done. So we, 3 years ago, we initiated American Made, and it is growing. It's a movement that is taking off here in the United States, and lots of wonderful companies are supporting us, including the UPSstore.com. We're very excited about our relationship with UPS, without which, by the way, these makers couldn't really distribute their goods so efficiently and so easily.
And they've got great legs under those shorts. We've got a great driver. My wife just waits for him every day. You're not getting anything? You know, one quick question. Of course, the award itself, it's made in America. It isn't made in Taiwan or anything, is it?
No.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Made here. Oh, what, the award itself is
something
they get? Oh, what they got last year, and every year it's a little different, was a map of the United States, a beautifully crafted map with all the 50 states, made by Stave Puzzles, a wonderful, very, very beautiful puzzle maker in Vermont. So, yes, of course it's made in America.
I apologize for even asking. Tim, I noticed you're a Marine Gulf War veteran, and I wonder, do you think businesses are doing, American businesses, what they could to help find jobs for vets, and why do vets make good employees?
Well, in franchising in particular, the UPS store is a franchise. You know, we're particularly fond of veterans. They come back knowing how to work within a system. They've been indoctrinated and steeped in leadership and initiative, and I think they're great opportunities, and hopefully businesses will create more and more opportunities for our veterans coming home.
Hopefully so. Got a son who's one, and the service was the best thing for him. You know, Martha, I do have a question for you, because I've followed your career for many years and tried to do a few things. Is there anything you're not good at? I wouldn't even say, is there anything you're bad at, because that doesn't even seem to be a possibility, but is there anything you're not good at?
Well, I'm not really good at, I probably, if I tried hard, I could create a software program, but I'm not a good plumber. I tried to plumb a kitchen once from scratch. My pipes went in many different directions.
Wow, this would have been a viral video.
Could have been, but that's way before the internet, I'll tell you.
All right, one last thing about before the internet, before we get back to this. I was doing some research on you, and I found, is it true that you actually were a babysitter for Mickey Mantle's kids?
Well, I didn't. I was, my best friend was Mickey Mantle's babysitter. I was Yogi Berra's kid's babysitter.
No kidding. Oh, you must have gotten some great advice there.
I still see Yogi at the Yankee games.
You must have made the best cookies for those kids, right?
I was the best babysitter, of course.
Of course. You know, Tim, what could our government do to help encourage small businesses better?
Well, I think the government's doing something right now. This is the 51st National Small Business Week. Since JFK, every president has declared a week National Small Business Week, and this is our chance to celebrate that week now. In fact, the reason the UPS store is so excited to team up with Martha Stewart and her American Made initiative is because the entrepreneurial spirit of her makers are right in line with what our UPS store is all about. And National Small Business Week is a great chance to celebrate that.
You know, Martha, when you started out as an entrepreneur, it was a particularly, it's always difficult for entrepreneurs, but for a woman, was it even more difficult when you started out?
Well, women in business are, we're becoming a bigger percentage of the employee base. That's for sure.
Yep.
But I never really focused on the difference between men and women and success. I really was very, very motivated and very directed towards creating something meaningful. And I think that that's the best way to approach business, not to become sexist in any way, not to focus on whether you're a man or a woman. I really just go for it yourself. It takes a little inner strength, but it works.
Well, it certainly has. You're also a master communicator across many, many platforms. You go from old-style magazines to books to websites to apps. What do you see
radio.
As the...
Radio. I have a radio show, you know, daily on Sirius.
On Sirius? What channel?
On 106 from noon until 2. I am on 4 to 5 hours a week myself, personally. I love radio.
It's a very intimate type of medium and one you can really connect with people. Do you see small businesses as having to be able to be on all platforms? And actually, with all these platforms, is it an equalizer for small businesses?
I think it's very important to utilize social media as well as the Internet, as well as traditional media, for promotion and for publicity. Very, very important. People have to know who you are. They have to know what you do. And whatever way you can do that in the most elegant, telling way, the better off your business will be. It's incredible how complicated it's become now. And you can waste a lot of time doing it, too. So I caution new young entrepreneurs not to waste too much time. Don't take your eye off the final product of your business, and don't let the service of your business, the treating of your customers, falter in any way. It's the customer who's going to make your business ultimately, and you have to respect and adore and treat that customer with great care.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Tim, I can't imagine a small business that couldn't exist without really almost partnering with UPS. Do you have a special part in UPS's heart for small businesses?
Well, absolutely, Steve. At the UPS store, we're all about small business. Our format is designed to help small business owners with all the challenges they may face. So we provide many services to really be their back office. And we're very interested in how consumers view small business. In fact, we recently fielded a survey to understand how consumers view small businesses and learned a lot. Some very interesting things that we learned are that consumers are willing to drive further and spend more money at small businesses significantly more this year than last year, and that's a great indicator for us.
You know, it's terrific work that you're both doing with American Small Business. These awards are just a great idea. Where can people go for more information?
Well, please go to MarthaStewart.com/AmericanMade. You'll learn how to nominate. You'll learn how to vote. You'll learn how, hopefully, to win.
Sounds good, but we won't learn plumbing skills, is that right?
No, you won't. Although we probably do get some very basic things like how to change a faucet and stuff on our website. We're very do-it-yourself, as you know.
Boy, you know, you do it all. Thanks so much, both of you, for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Martha Stewart and Tim Davis, he's the president of UPS, and that, of course, was conducted by Steve Wiseman. He'll be right back to talk about investing in marijuana stocks. That's next on A Touch of Gray.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast and more conversation with Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent, who is an enemy of scam artists all across the world. They fear him. They shiver in their boots when he comes on the scene. He has a website called Scamicide. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And now he's here to discuss the dangers of investing in marijuana stocks. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, these are high times, and by that I mean we've got a lot more legalization of marijuana, not just for medical use, but even recreational. You know, investment scams are always popular and with good reason. People are constantly looking for big returns on what might appear to be the hot stock or investment sector of the moment. Greed can sometimes blind people from doing the thorough research that needs to be done before getting involved with any investment. So getting back to our marijuana, with both medical marijuana and to a lesser extent recreational marijuana use expanding, some scammers are seeing this as an opportunity to scam people out of their investment dollars with phony marijuana-related investments in companies. Now, a lot of these companies involved with legalized marijuana sales, and I'm talking legitimate ones, are too small to be required to file reports with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And consequently, there's a bigger chance of your getting false information from companies to lure investors. However, the SEC has this thing called the Microcap Fraud Task Force, and they've been looking into the information that's being disclosed by companies dealing with marijuana to see if that information is misleading. So
In that instance, the SEC has the authority to issue trading suspensions while the SEC continues a more in-depth investigation of these companies. And just last week, the SEC did just that in the case of Fusion Farm, Inc. It's a Colorado company that purports to make a cultivation system used in growing legal marijuana. SEC has also suspended the sales of Cannabusiness Group, Inc., nice name though, and Advanced Cannabis Solutions for the same reasons. So what's the lesson here? Don't let your greed, or if you're high, prevent you from doing your homework before making any investment. Always make sure you not only understand how the investment works, but also research the company and the person selling you the investment before making any investment, putting any money in. Small companies, we often call them penny stocks, may look attractive, may be legal. They are legal, but it's difficult to get information about many of these companies, and fraudulent sales of stock are often occurring. So this time you're going to look for that helping hand. It's going to be at the end of your own arm, and you've got to really, really carefully investigate both the investment and the person selling it to you before you put your money in there.
Thank you, Steve. I'm going to hang on to my money. I'd rather smoke my money than have it go up in smoke in some of those things that you said. Okay, Steve Wiseman, thank you very much. And check out his website, scamaside.com. And thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host of the program. And thank you to Kevin Casey. And we certainly thank you for listening. I'm Michael Harrison on behalf of the entire gang here at A Touch of Gray. Join us next weekend for another installment of the Talk Show for Grown-Ups.